thy wandering and distempered child. Thou pourest on him thy soft influences, thy sunny hues, fair forms and breathing sweets, thy melodies of woods and winds and waters, till he relent, and can no more endure to be a jarring and a dissonant thing amid this general dance and minstrelsy, but bursting into tears wins back his way, his angry spirit healed and harmonized by the benignant touch of love and beauty.
Samuel West was reading from the work of William Wordsworth and Samuel Taylor Coleridge. The programme was introduced by Dr. Robert Wolfe. More lyrical ballads at the same time tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our programme of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
In 1938, an innovative American radio broadcast both alarmed and enthralled an unsuspecting audience.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man's.
Oh, well, wait, that wasn't a shadow, it's something moving.
Yet as mortal as his own.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most terrifying thing I've ever witnessed.
The landmark adaptation by Orson Welles of The War of the Worlds on BBC Radio 4 Extra. On Sunday evening at 6 and again at midnight.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
It's 3 o'clock, time for drama with Troilus and Crusade in a moment. Then in the 4 o'clock show, Mel Gedroich with a brand new story, Awful End, read by Mark Williams. Later, Mark Lawson's drama documentary charting Mary Whitehouse's unsuccessful obscenity trial against Michael Bogdanov regarding his production of The Romans in Britain. It's part of our programmes marking the National Theatre's 50th anniversary. Hear it tonight at 7. So now to our 60-minute drama, a powerful and tragic tale of love from the first tentative beginnings through to full-on passion and eventually tragic disillusionment. It's an adaptation of a poem by Chaucer, considered by some to be his greatest work, greater even than the Canterbury Tales. This is the second and final part, dramatised by the poet and writer Lavinia Greenlaw.
Troilus and Crusade by Geoffrey Chaucer, dramatised by Lavinia Greenlaw. What a day. A terrible day. The king has been told, but he wants to hear it from Hector. He summoned him to his private chamber.
Father,
tell me what happened. I am sure there are already many different stories, and there are those who will ensure that nothing reaches my ears. Tell me what happened.
I planned every detail. We made such careful preparations. We dazzled them, Father. Every piece of armor shone. Every bow was taut. Every spear sharpened.
What happened?
I planned everything.
Then what went wrong?
Spears, arrows, darts, swords, maces. Heads cleaved in half with axes.
You did not do well.
We got home.
You panicked and failed.
Some of us got home.
The king has had enough.
He's an old man.
He's a wise man. Enough is enough.
They say he's going to make the Greeks an offer.
Okay. podcast.
My lords, you all know I was a man of Troy. But then I glimpsed the city's future and saw it broken, burnt, destroyed. Yes. And came to you, bringing this vision of success, the sure promise that this adventure will end in triumph for you Greeks. I've given you your self-belief. As for me, I left everything behind, all my gold, to bring you the gift of certainty. Did I mention I have a daughter? I left her sleeping the night I escaped. How could she forgive a father who slipped so cruelly away? What hardness in my heart refused to wake her, now left defenseless and alone. Oh, I should have dragged her here in her nightgown. You're surprised I've not mentioned her. What was the point? I could see no way to arrange her escape from Troy. But it's now or never. Could she not be part of this exchange?
Silence! King Priam shall speak.
Men of Troy, I have called you here to decide the matter of this exchange of prisoners, and a particular request the Greeks have made, that we hand over this, what's her name, Criseyde, for whom they will return our brave warrior, Antenor.
Antenor!
The Greek ambassadors await outside. They will have their answer. You will decide.
Antenor!
My lords!
Let Prince Hector speak!
All of us wish to see Antenor released. But by what reason can we give them Criseyde? I can see no justification for this. After all, the lady is not a prisoner. Why the Greeks want her, I have no idea. But for my part, the message is clear. There's no one selling women here.
Well, that put a match to the straw.
Things have really flared up.
Should she stay or should she go?
Someone should ask Prince Hector.
What's so special about this Criseyde?
Why is he shielding her?
We've got few enough men left as it is. But to lose a man like Antenor...
Everyone knows he's one of the best and one of the smartest we have.
It's obvious. It has to be her.
Hector's just got some silly idea.
Go on, say something.
Your Majesty, King Priam, we speak as one in our desire. It is our wish to deliver Antenor.
No, Father, listen, please. She is a noble lady, not some trinket picked up on the battlefield. This is not right. Not right.
This has been decided.
Not by me.
It is not for you to decide.
She is my responsibility.
The matter is out of your hands.
Will you get these shutters closed? The wind's driving me mad.
Yes, my lord. It's so strong, it'll strip the leaves from the trees. And then it'll be winter.
For God's sake, get those doors closed and then leave me alone!
Yes, my lord.
What am I supposed to do now? Go back to living in constant pain? It was bad enough then, but now... No one can do anything. Sun or rain, who cares? I'm doomed to darkness, to the end of my days.
Troilus, what's this? Don't be so... There's nothing. We could always... I'm sure it will be... Oh, God, what now? Why her?
I might as well be dead. You heard what they decreed. Antenor for my Criseyde.
I heard. Who would have imagined? If only it were as false as it is... True. Who would have thought that fate would end our happy little game just like that? Oh, listen. Why drive yourself mad and collapse like this? After all,
Good times have been had, and now it's over. You should be grateful to have enjoyed so much. Don't be a fool. You're luckier than me. I've had to make do with a word, a glance. I've not been loved like you. In this town, there are always ladies to be found. Girls like Crusader tend to the dozen, and I could find you someone even more fine. More than one. Two, three, I reckon. In this search, Troilus, you and I are brothers. If Crusade's lost, we'll find you another.
What? Another? I'm speechless. This so-called cure might be the answer, were I some kind of fiend. To betray someone so true. I'd rather be put to death here and now than ever follow such shameful advice. Do you think I have a heart of ice?
No, indeed not. I only meant... I mean, quite right, quite so. I only wanted to... You are quite mistook. All I intended to suggest was that you... look ahead. That is not to say without... you could always, take matters into your own hands. Take her away.
You should remember this town's at war because a woman was ravished and taken by force. If I did the same, think of the outcry. What person in this city would refuse to condemn me if I found cause to go against my father's decree? It is, after all, for the good of the city. So it has occurred to me, if she agreed to ask my father to grant her mine. But that would expose our secret and she'd be compromised. Anyway, he'd turn me down rather than be maligned. He accepted the people's decision. A public edict may not be broken. Above all, I won't have her subjected to violence. If I were to use force and carry her off, think of the effect on her good name. Of course, I'd rather die than suffer the remorse of being the reason for her dishonor. I am nothing if not her protector. Do I submit to reason or desire? Reason tells me not to carry her away. Desire says there's no reason to stay.
Whatever you decide to do is fine by me, but if I were such a man and in this deep, I'd carry her off. The people be damned. I'd not give tuppence for their alarm. They'd shout about it and then move on. It'd be a 9-day wonder in this town. It would hardly be an abduction. Call it reasonable force, if it means you protect the woman you love from the Greeks. What would she think if Polites compelled you to stand by and watch her removed? Fate helps those who help themselves. None more than a man determined on his prize. None less than those full of cowardice.
Your words are so invigorating. Give me a chance, friend. I'm ready to act. You won't need to prompt me again or mock me for not taking action. Give me a chance and I'll lead us on. No more arguments. I've made up my mind. I'll take her away. If she's so inclined.
And that, my boy, is the vital question. Have you ascertained her view?
No. Have you?
Why be consumed by things you don't even know to be true? Her greatest dream may be to run away with you. Have confidence in your heroic plan. Act for love, and you act as a man. Now, up you get. It's important to behave as if nothing's wrong. The king will be wondering where you are. Come on, wash your face. You must act in a way that doesn't raise suspicion and be ready to attend the king. He'll be wondering. In short, dear brother, treat this as a day like any other.
Not raise suspicion. A day like any other. Yes.
And meanwhile, I shall contrive for you and Crusade to meet tonight for a little heart to heart. You'll soon realize that she's not going to put up a fight. Now then, my dear, it's not as bad as all that.
Am I really to be sent into exile? How unlucky can I get? Doomed to disappear from sight. By God, I must have been born under some cursed constellation. Damn my father! This is all he's doing. Damn this lie!
There's no need to... Do try to calm down. Now listen...
Since I'm not brave enough for sword or dart, I'll find another way to die. That is, if this sadness doesn't destroy me. From the day I depart, I'll take neither meat nor drink. Nothing. My soul will slip out of my breast. I'll do myself to death.
For heaven's sake, I know you're in pain, but you have to think about what next. Show some pride, some restraint, and don't waste time on pointless gestures. Now, I have a message from Troilus, so hold your head up and dry your eyes. I've made the usual arrangements for tonight. Now, do try to make things easier. You want him to feel better, not worse. Use gentle pressure to put him at ease, the side of the sword, so to speak, rather than the edge. Such relentless weeping only floods the streets. Are you both going to drown in your tears? Why, when there are all kinds of solution? Once you and he have had a heart-to-heart, you'll be reassured you want the same thing. Do everything to put off your departure, and if you can't, then find a way to hurry home. A woman's best suited to thinking short-term. Trust your instincts. You'll know what to do. And if you don't, I'll rescue you.
Go, uncle. Bring him to me, and I'll do my utmost to hide my tears. He'll think me merry. And I'll try with all my heart to salve whatever hurts him most. I'll make him happy again. The love I give will not be lacking.
Patience, patience. We must go the roundabout way just to be safe.
What if it is ordained? I must accept that I will lose her. The gods have their reasons.
Bear the idea of our being apart. And he seems to suffer even more than I. I can't stand his misery. What if he doesn't come? I've set my heart on him. I'll die if he doesn't come. I'll die.
What are we to do? How can we stop this happening? I cannot. I will not. It must not.
We must remember that I'm not going far. Only half a day's ride from Troy. The Greeks aren't going to haul me in, so I'm sure I'll be able to send word every day, if I can, of how I am. This truce will last longer than our separation. I'll be home before you know it, and Troy will have Antenor home too.
But how to bear it?
I will come back. I swear.
When?
As soon as I can.
When?
Within a fortnight, I'm sure. 9 days, maybe 10. Anyway, we're used to this. Things being the way they are, we often had to wait for the chance to meet, even just to talk. Sometimes 2 weeks have gone by, so why is it so hard now to wait 10 days? Remember, my good name is at stake. That alone should be reason to wait. Watkin, I have our here in Troy, except, of course, my father, but then he... Everything I cherish and possess is here. Nothing more precious to your heart than you. As Jove is my witness. Not for the chance of any place, not for all the world would I give you up. Whatever else my father may be, he is wise. Of course he wants to see me, and of course he's worried that the people of Troy despise and blame me for what he did. He doesn't realize I have my own life. As soon as he realizes I'm happy here, he'll let me go my own way.
What if he won't?
As soon as peace is declared, we'll all be free to come and go. Greeks and Trojans will flip back and forth like bees to and from a hive. We'll be able to go where we like. We won't need anyone's permission.
But peace has not been declared.
Even if the plans for peace fall through, I'll be back. Because how could I possibly stay in a camp on the edge of a battlefield? I'd be terrified.
None of this changes the fact you have to go. How do I know for sure that you'll come back? By God, if you were so unkind as...
Unkind?
I mean, if you for whatever reason, didn't appear on the appointed day, I would lose the will to live. No. I must ask you this, and beg 1,000 pardons for doing so. But please, think of it from my position, and see there's only one possible course of action. We must leave town, and not tell anyone, just slip quietly away. Why give up everything to protect just one thing, a name? Now, let's attend to practicalities. To be blunt, we'll need money.
I'm not sure.
We have no choice. Even without money, we'll be fine. I've got friends all over the place. We could turn up in our bare shirts and they'd make us welcome. Share all they had.
Bare shirts? Oh, it's true. We could run away. We could do all kinds of things. But why? When there's nothing to worry about. Not in the long run. And Troy needs you. If you did this for me, what do you think people will say? That you ran away for love? No. They'll insist it was lust and cowardice. I'd never be able to hold my head up again. Why not put your trust in my balmy sweetheart? Look to the stars. I'll be back before the moon passes out of Aries. 10 days.
10 days.
And nothing short of death will stop me.
10 days.
10 days.
If this is how it has to be, then I will endure. I can see that your mind is made up. But 10 days only, yes?
Yes. Now we have this night.
Our last night.
Let's spend no more of it arguing and weeping.
The rest of this night is for kissing and caressing.
Who are you to demand we open the gates?
I am Diomede, come to collect the Lady Crusade.
So early?
Is she ready?
She is ready.
Madam, I am Diomede. I am here to accompany you.
Very well.
Who are these men? I am taking the lady alone. She does not need accompaniment.
My men shall do the lady the honor of an escort across the valley.
Very well. But before you go, see here how we Greeks keep our word.
Antenor, brother, you are most welcome.
We must leave. Lady, you are in my care. Your men can rest assured they have no need to come far.
Why doesn't everyone, by whatever means, stop this? Why don't I? Why can I not stand against my city? Why don't I just kill this man, Diomede, and carry her off? Why do I endure this when I could solve it?
Halt! We go on alone from here.
Then I will bid you farewell, dear lady.
Farewell, Prince.
Remember, the 10th day. Take this brooch. It is the seal of our promise. I pin myself to your heart.
And I, my love, I pin myself to you. Farewell.
Madam, you seem greatly troubled.
Is that so?
Let me try to put you at ease. I would like to offer you my friendship. Think of me as a brother. I may not be able to cure whatever it is that weighs so heavily upon you, but at least I can offer a shoulder to cry on.
Crusade! My own dear daughter, my darling
There's my father.
I'll leave you to your reunion. Do remember my offer.
I'm sorry? What offer?
To be your friend. You look as if you need one.
I do. I mean, thank you.
Crusade. At last.
Hello, Father.
I have waited so long.
And now my waiting has begun.
Thank you, Diomede.
It has been an honor. Goodbye for now.
Sir? Sir?
Yes?
I am glad to have found a friend.
At your service.
Come now, child. I will show you your new home. You are safe now. All will be well. Oh, my crusade at last.
Any news?
I have no news.
Damn Paul. Damn Cupid. Damn my birth, damn myself, damn the world, damn it all. Except her. But where is she now? Her breasts are so white. Where is she? Her arms, her eyes so luminous. She was with me only yesterday. How can I survive 10 days when this one night is such torture? And how can she bear it? Her face was so pale, so drawn, so much in pain. My life is over. Pandarus, there is nothing left you can do for me, except to dispose of my estate. Who cares how? Only when my body is burnt to ash, place it in a gold casket, for it will contain my heart, and give it to my lady for remembrance.
Troilus, my dear friend, this is ridiculous. I've told you before that such sorrow is pure folly, and there's no need for it either. God knows how many men have spent a fortnight apart from their lady love without making half as much fuss. The path of love does not run smoothly. Such is life. You have to bear it. So why not let things slide and persuade yourself to have some fun? I know a wonderful source of distraction.
I want no distraction.
Have you heard of the House of Sarpedon?
The House of Sarpedon? He is, they say, a generous host.
A most generous.
And he keeps a fine table.
Awash with delicacies.
And every day, a feast.
A veritable feast.
No, I want no distraction.
All the same, where's the harm?
The gentle breeze plays pretty tunes, but I want none, no, I want none. The lyre plays so sweet whenever it is strummed, but I want none, no, I want none. For here we feast and dance all night and make the sweetest song. And even when the day grows light, we will sing on, we will sing on, we will sing on.
Diomede, a game of dice. God knows we have a little else to do to pass the time.
Not this evening. I have another game.
Another game?
A waiting game. And I must choose just the right moment to cast my net.
How intriguing. Have you, so to speak, baited your hook? Cast your line?
Everything is in place. As I said, it's just a matter of time.
Well, good luck and good sport.
I know full well she's pining for some sweetheart she left back in Troy. And they say you should never try to court a woman with a broken heart. But what it would be to pick such a sweet flower, to undo the gold thread that binds the long braid of her hair, to light those eyes. It's surely worth a try.
Thank you.
please. Much as it pains me to leave you again, Troy is my home.
Troy is the place I left behind. I can never return. Do not forget who you are. First and foremost, my daughter. No, Troy will never be your home again.
But father, I left my...
Your what? Clothes? A few knick-knacks? Those silly girls you call your friends?
My life, father. I left my life.
What is a woman's life without family or husband? Don't be ridiculous. I can see you've been fretting. You're so thin, so pale, and those purple rings under your eyes. You're doing yourself harm.
No!
Why not settle? My dear, you're safe now. Rest and look to the future. I am here. I can take care of you.
Why will he not just let me go? I can't slip away. What if I were caught? They'd think me a spy. The days are passing. Troilus will think I have abandoned him.
I'm glad to be going home.
It's true. You were not the slightest bit interested in having fun.
I've just realized. Her house is here. Let's go and have a look.
Could we not go home first and get some rest?
Come on, it's just round this corner. Oh.
It was bound to be shut up.
But every door is barred.
Of course, no one's home.
It was at that very gate that I first heard the sound of her laughter. And from here you can see the terrace where she made me promise to love her. And behind there is a chamber where... I know. Let's go to the place where she and I first met.
Must we?
To the temple. I will stand again on the very spot.
Well, if you must, you must.
And finally to the city gates from where she departed. See that hill in the distance? I rode with her as far as there.
Indeed. Can we go home now? Please?
Is today not the ninth day? My father will sleep home for an hour or so. Maybe I should throw caution to the wind and just slip away. I could just, couldn't I? Just...
Good morning, madam.
Oh.
I have come to consult your father on an important matter.
My father is sleeping. He rises before dawn to pray and then rests again after his meal.
Oh, indeed. I should have remembered. Forgive me.
Oh, not at all. Can I offer you something now that you're here? Please, sit down. Here, have some of these spice cakes and a little wine.
You're very kind.
May I ask what it is that has brought you to my father?
Oh, this war, what else? How to resolve the deadlock?
That's a complex matter.
Quite so. But tell me, surely you have a view?
Me?
I can see how perceptive you are. What would you do?
Me? What would I do if I were general?
Yes, you.
Well, if you want my opinion, I'd say it was a matter of finding a way for both sides to win. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I'd try to offer Troy its freedom.
You seem to be much alone. May I ask how you pass your days?
I wait.
Well, I will not ask for what, although it has been clear to me since the day I led your horse away from Troy that you are oppressed by some great sorrow.
Clear to you? Well,
no, there's no need to explain. I wouldn't dream of intruding. I just wanted to let you know I can see how bad you're feeling. Perhaps that is why your father has not yet picked out a good Greek husband for you.
Husband?
No matter. Perhaps you left behind some Trojan soldier. Although I'm sure you've realized by now that you ought not waste so much as a quarter of a tear on one of them. They have already lost their freedom. None will escape the city alive. Not for all the gold that can be found between the sun and the sea can a Trojan now buy his freedom.
That can't be true.
You can take it as a certainty. Why do you think your father insisted we got you out? He's the one who sees into the future. The one who said the city will be destroyed. He had to rescue you. He was terrified.
No.
Forget Troy. Forget the Trojans. They are as good as gone. Dry your tears and banish that sadness. I can see underneath that mask of your grief, there is great beauty. There is no hope for Troy, but for you, here, there is much to enjoy. You never know. There may be one among us Greeks who is your perfect man, more noble than any Trojan, and certainly more kind. He would serve you with all his might. Are you listening? Dear lady, dazzling lady, what I'm trying to say is that I'd gladly dedicate myself to your service.
You?
It would be an honor for which I would willingly abandon my country. A dozen countries.
He will not forsake me in the name of duty. He is no quivering boy too scared to speak out. He will not let me be taken.
I know it troubles you that I am not of Troy, but I am yours, and I am here.
And I am here too, aren't I? For all I wish I were there, I am still here. And my father, whatever else he did, sent for me, a favor which must have cost him dear, a favor that perhaps I ought to repay you by making my home here. If we are to speak of romance, I'll tell you this. I had a lord to whom I was wed. I gave him my heart until the day he died. There's been no other, and now here you are. And what do I know of you? I admit I've heard talk of your nobility, and you are known to be of good family. And yet, I don't know. Will Troy really fall?
I would not dare ask this of you were I not certain.
Come back tomorrow. You may come whenever you wish. But do not subject me to any pressure. And remember, I have made no promises.
Oh, dear lady, it is enough that you offer me the chance to call on you. As I said, I am your loving friend. Could I take this glove as a token of our exchange?
Very well, but remember, it means nothing.
Nothing means nothing.
Well said. Now go, please. And come back tomorrow. But if my old life is lost, my love is lost too. I have already betrayed Troilus. But what do I know of Troilus now? He said not one word to keep me. Does he even still think of me? What else can I do but be faithless to the old if I am to be faithful to the new? Is that right? What's real? What's true? What should I do?
Troilus, why have you dragged me from my bed?
Why? It's today, the 10th day.
It's hardly day at all.
Nonsense. She could arrive at any time, so we must climb onto the walls and keep a lookout.
Very well. You didn't happen to mention, but has she been in touch?
There was no need for any messages. I have her word, remember? The 10th day, she swore on it. She'll be here.
Yes, of course. He'll be here.
Horses. Coming down the path from the hill.
At last.
No, it's not her after all. Come on, come on.
All this coming and going. It's tiring trying to keep up with it. Could we not take a little rest?
Her father will have insisted she dine with him before leaving. How could she possibly refuse?
Of course. And why don't we do the same and come back later? Troilus, the sun is starting to fade. Apart from that meal, we've been here all day.
Her father must have kept her. She'll be here tonight. I'd stake my life on it.
Of course, she may turn up. Troilus, they're locking the gates. We should stand down.
I must have got the day wrong. It's perfectly possible. Come to think of it, I can't remember exactly what she said. Something about being home before the moon moved into the house of the lion. Something like that.
Have you seen Troilus? Is he coming to the feast?
When did Troilus last feast?
He's fading away again. What's wrong with him?
Seems to be keeping watch. There he is as usual, up on the walls.
But what's he watching?
The olive groves? I don't know, anything.
Watching for the circa watching.
I'm so pleased you agreed to dine with me. You have become, if I may say so, a shadow of your former self.
I wanted to see you. To ask you this. Do you think it possible, and after all you know her well, that she... that she might have forsaken me?
I think the thing to do is to find out.
How?
It has been 2 months now. It's time to confront the matter.
How?
Why not write her a letter? If you get no reply, you'll have your answer. What I mean is, she'll not write back if she's had a change of heart. And if she does write, then you'll soon know if she's able to get home or if she's being held there in some way. She'll explain everything.
Of course. It may please you to remember, sweetheart, how long you have left me alone in a piercing agony, without remedy. The only cure, your return. If any servant of love has the right to complain to his lady, then it is I. After all, it has now been 2 months since you left. Do you not remember what you said? 10 days. You'd stay with the Greeks no more than 10 days. Of course, I do not mean to complain. And of course, I defer to you in all things. And above all, I want to know how you are. To hear news of you. Any news. If something else is keeping you there, then write and tell me about it. Then I'll know it's not through choice you stay, and I'll be able to be patient. An explanation would give me hope, so write, my sweet, and end this uncertainty. Give me hope or death, but either way, release me. I should warn you that when we meet again, you'll barely recognize me. I am so changed by this interminable pain.
Madam,
what is it?
I was asked to give you this.
It's from Troilus. But surely he's forgotten me. Surely he's given up by now. It may please you to remember, sweetheart, how long you have left me alone. I am so changed by this interminable pain.
I'll have to reply. Why now? What can I say now? My dear Troilus, I too have been made unhappy by this long delay. Not to worry. I'll come as soon as I can. Everything will be all right. I just can't say when.
Can't say when? What does this mean? She says nothing.
Nothing has changed.
Nothing has been solved. The truce has not lasted.
Kingdoms rise and fall according to the fates.
Unfortunate Troy. Day by day, its bright feathers are being plucked. And so we fight.
And so we lose.
God bless Prince Hector! This is terrible news. I saw him fall. I saw Achilles stab him right through the heart. Through his chainmail, his body, through and through.
Prince Hector, dead. How can this be?
No one was so brave, so clever.
If Hector is gone, Troy is lost.
Don't say such things.
We are lost. We are all lost.
These are sad days indeed, dear friend.
Such dark days.
Dear Troilus, how to bear this tragedy? Your brother, your own brother.
Hopeless.
But you are your brother's equal in strength, courage, wisdom.
She has abandoned me. Ability. My heart is broken, and yet... I can't help wondering what she's doing.
Take his place.
Is she well?
Troy to victory.
Does she think of me?
His memory.
I still don't know for sure what's keeping her there.
Her own brother.
It's bound to be her father, refusing her permission to leave.
She's written many letters.
And she'd be a dutiful daughter.
She doesn't answer.
I'll write another letter.
You said you had a gift for me. Now hand it over.
Very well. See, here it is.
It looks like a sleeve.
And that's what it is.
A sleeve from your blue gown.
It was a sleeve, but now, look. I have sewn it into a pennant for you to carry into battle.
Dear heart, I will wear it on my sleeve.
A sleeve upon your sleeve. No. Wear it on your cloak. I'll fix it there right now, with this brooch.
And I shall fight in the name of your sleeve.
There is no greater honor.
See, she has replied. I knew she would as soon as she could. Dear Troilus,
You who are the embodiment of excellence, a great soldier,
a courtly man. Try to understand what it is to be this helpless. You wish me there, I cannot come. It takes all I have to hide the pain. Thank you for your letters. Your pages are now stained with my tears, but please, can you not see that I am unable to do what you require of me? Trust me, please. I don't dare say too much in writing, but there has been talk that what you really want is me at your beck and call. Nothing more. Of course, I pay no attention to this. I know you would never be so ungallant. I will come back, but the times are out of joint, and so, right now, I cannot simply say whether it'll take a year or a day. Whatever happens, I pray that you will remain my friend. I'm sorry not to write more, but I have to be careful. More is meant than what I say. Don't judge me by a letter's space. Farewell.
How strange. She has somehow changed. There is something she's not telling me. But what kind of lover would I be if I let myself doubt her? No, love like this is forever.
Troilus! You missed quite a skirmish today. We gave them a beating. Deiphoebus saw off one of their best men, damn near killed him.
What was his name?
Diomede.
I know him. He came to take the lady.
What lady? Oh, yes, her, the one we swapped for Antenor. Look, there's the man himself, Deiphoebus!
Oh, he's waving something.
It's, what's his name's cloak? Deiphoebus ripped it off his back. Let's go and congratulate him.
Deiphoebus, you did well. It's a fine trophy.
Pass it over so we can all take a look. What do you think, Troilus?
It's very fine. Very fine.
Made of precious stuff.
And such care taken in its working. What's this tucked underneath the collar? Good God.
What?
Nothing. I thought I'd found...
Found what?
Never mind.
Troilus, Deiphoebus wants his cloak back. He wants to flaunt it, and why not? He'll look well in it.
Take it.
I saw it. Under his collar. The brooch I gave to Crusade the morning she departed. I'd pin myself to your heart, I said. And I, my love, she did say it. I pin myself to you. And yet, there it is. On some Greek's collar. There is no other explanation. There it is.
Pandarus, where are you? She's given it all to him. All her love and worth. She held my life in her hands. And she threw it away. For him. Pandarus!
Dear friend. Dear Troilus. What on earth has caused such distress?
Could she not have found a new brooch to give to her new love? Why that one? There could be no crueler way to make your feelings clear. Pandarus.
I don't know what to say.
I've been cast clean out of her mind. Is that not so?
That is how it appears.
And yet she is still there. In my heart. I love her no less.
So it seems.
It is my curse. My fate still to love her. The one to whom I am nothing. Is that not so? Pandarus, do you have nothing to say?
Nothing.
You're right. There's nothing left to say. By God's grace, I go into battle with one aim. To meet Diomede in the fray. I'll make him bleed. He will die just as I want to die. This love deserves a better ending. What say you, Pandarus? It's love I serve, not your faithless niece. You were so sure of her. What have you got to say now? Don't stand there like a stone. Say something.
Dear brother, what should I say? I'll have nothing further to do with Crusade. I'll despise her forever. I did all I could for you and for her, without any thought for my own interests. I meant it all for the best.
And now?
Now? Now. Nothing.
Diomede! Where are you hiding? Are you afraid? Why? You don't want to die?
Here I am, Prince. Look at you. Just a boy.
A boy who's not afraid to die.
Every day they seek each other out.
They're well matched.
Taunt for taunt, cut for cut, blow for blow.
Either way, neither can win.
Troilus, look out!
Don't keep your eyes on Diomede!
Look to your left!
Who's that?
Achilles and he... No! Troilus, no!
So this is my ending. To carry my love up to heaven. Such lightness at last. Such light. So many stars. So many wandering stars. And my bright love will be among them. What was this world? So small, wretched. What was it that mattered so much? I can't remember what it was that mattered. Was it a song? The song of the heavens. Such sweet song. What was it? I can't remember.
In Troilus and Crusade, Troilus was played by Tom Ferguson, Crusade by Maxine Peake, and Pandarus by Malcolm Rayburn. Crusade's friend and servant were played by Catherine Hunt, Calchas by Kevin Doyle, Priam by Terence Mann, and Diomede by Declan Wilson. Troilus and Crusade by Geoffrey Chaucer was dramatised by Lavinia Greenlaw, with the original music composed by Gary Yershon and performed by Ehsan Emam, Mike Dale and Tim Williams. It was directed in Manchester by Susan Roberts.
Noel Coward was an actor, a playwright, a songwriter, a director and basically a huge star, though he never added sleuth to his achievements. But that needn't concern us. Just prior to the Second World War, there is a gap in his memoirs. What if he spent that time solving a murder mystery? And that's exactly the what if that inspired Marcy Kahan's comedy Design for Murder, which you can hear in tomorrow's 60-minute drama slot. Tonight here on BBC Radio 4 Extra, Andrew Maxwell continues his series looking at modern threats to society. Last week, Andrew dealt with the food industry, and this week he turns his attention to the internet, although, as he explains, he might not be the best man for the job.
up until 8 years ago, I lived my life like I was on the run. Right? I didn't have a mobile phone, I'd never sent an email, and I only had a landline. If my agent wanted me to know about an email, she had to ring my landline and then read the email out to me.
You can hear Andrew Maxwell's Public Enemies first on 4 Extra in tonight's Comedy Club at 10:30.
Alan Bennett's classic tale.
If, heaven forfend, I were ever entrusted with a timetable, I would call these lessons a waste of time.
The pressures of teaching in a 1980s grammar school.
Get me scholarships, Erwin. Pull us up the table and it's yours.
The National Theatre at 50 continues with the History Boys.
How are you all getting on with Mr. Erwin?
It's interesting, miss, if you know what I mean. Makes me grateful for your lessons. Mr. Erwin is more free range.
With Russell Tovey and Richard Griffiths, this Saturday evening at 7 on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Right, time for me to hand you over to Mel now. I'll be back at 5 with an hour of comedy, including Hugh Bonneville, in our parallel universe sitcom Married at 5:30.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Hello, it's the 4 o'clock show with me, Mel Gedroych, and what a 4 o'clock show week we've got for you, and what a brand new story. Now, it might not sound very promising, but believe it or not, there are laughs all the way. Our story is, drumroll please, Awful End by Philip Arda.
We can't risk you going all yellow and crinkly, said Eddie's mother. Which is why, said his father, we're sending you to stay with Mad Uncle Jack.
Eddie Dickens is being sent away to live with Mad Uncle Jack, but that's not all. Mad Uncle Jack is married to Mad Aunt Maud. Whew, will Eddie survive? Or will he end up all yellow and crinkly like his mum and dad? Let's find out. The story is read by Mark Williams, who of course plays Arthur Weasley in the Harry Potter films, and it's on towards the end of the show. And it is Monday, so that means we get all outdoorsy. We're off to the British hillsides to meet some really, really cute ponies running free with the wind in their manes. That was my pony impression. Yeah. Sorry, can you please take the ponies out of the studio now? Yes, they're creating apples. I think that's what they call them. Yeah, stop it, pony apple. First, we've got to start my magical mystery tour. Every day on the 4 o'clock show, we go on a journey to a destination. It could be anywhere at any time. I drop clues throughout the show. Your job is to work out where we're going, and we arrive just before the story. Now, your first clue today is this. When the author Charles Dickens was a wee boy, he moved here. He was very happy here. So where could we possibly be going? Now, here is another little clue. We could drive to our MMT destination. Sometimes that's not possible, but today we're staying on the UK mainland. Might be a bit of a drive, so, Melvin, yeah? Should we choose some music? Yeah, not the Doolies. No, I'm not having the Doolies. We had that last week. Yeah, let's have a bit of Simple Minds. Yeah, I like a bit of 80s Glasgow. Good. Now, in BBC Radio 4's Music to Drive To, people talked about a moment when the music on the road was so perfect it would come to stand for that point in a person's life forever. Here's Fiona Craig driving on a day that made a difference with a song to match.
I suppose the story begins in February 2007 when my son Murray was born. He's my second son. On the way home in the car from hospital, just after I'd got out, and I'd only been in for one day, the very first song that came on the radio was Jamie Cullum's What a Difference a Day Makes.
What a difference a day made. 24 little hours.
It was the very first piece of music he ever heard, and as I had only been in hospital for one day, it just seemed really, really apt. And it's a love song.
Where there used to be rain.
though it seemed equally apt because he was born on February the 14th, which is St Valentine's Day. My yesterday was blue day. He was born at like just after midnight, so he just squeaked in to being a St Valentine's baby. I'm a part of you, day. He held on and held on so that he could be a love child. My lonely nights are through, day. And this amazing wee person with a shock of spiky red hair appeared in our lives. Since you said you were mine, Lord, what a difference a day made. I think you're hypersensitive, I think, to everything that's going on. I think the other thing is you're tired and drained, and you know, but I think that, you know, your heart and your ears and every part of your body is open to something totally new that's happening in your life, and that's all focused on one wee person. I think the other thing is that's the first time you're allowed to be a family as well, you know, that, because other than that, you're surrounded by professional people who are dealing with you professionally, and your husband isn't allowed to stay with you in hospital. It's you and the baby, and as you go into the car park, you suddenly realise that that's it, that's your first step as a family, is into your car and in the car seat and all the accoutrements that go with, you know, being.